This is RSBNB Update, episode 511, A New World at RSBNB. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. This week, just Earth and myself here.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome. You're having fun at the moment, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. You all won't get to hear it until the clip show, but I was just having a lot of fun doing the Easter event, imitating all of the people, because... I mean, the premise is, of course, absurd, but what else do we expect from Jagex? That's what we want, right?
Correct, correct. And I should note that this Easter event got off with some very punny words. Easter eggs pyramids. Easter bunny's back this year.
See, I'm not even fazed by that because of all the puns my school does that have to do with our mascot.
Oh, okay.
But I won't go into that here.
All right. Well, how do you feel about the Easter Bunny being back this year rather than some dumb cabbage that compared to what we had last year?
I think the Easter Bunny needs to... Oh, hi, Cortana. I think the Easter Bunny needs to... I think he needs a new job.
Yeah, because he was pretty much failing at what he was hoping to do, and that is deliver the eggs. Because as this Easter event goes, he was run out of his egg factory by imps of all things.
They're like, they're gnomes.
They're demonic gnomes. But, you know, wasn't it squirrels one year, and then we, trained the squirrels to work on them?
Demonic gnomes?
Well, you called the imps the gnomes, and imps are
Oh,
gnomes.
I did? Oops, okay.
Yeah.
So what did I call them earlier? Munchkins, that's what I called them.
Yeah, well, it's kind of true. That's kind of what they look like, right?
They are, yes.
And, but anyways, didn't we train squirrels one year to do the Easter Bunny's bidding?
This is Jagex, that's entirely possible.
Yeah. So anyways,
haven't we trained the King Black Dragon to do something for something?
Oh,
we have.
Yeah, we probably did it
with the Calphite King.
But anyways, that's beside the point here. But anyways, so the Easter Bunny's been run out and we need to allow him to get back into his egg factory. And in order to do that, well, the imps make demands and of course we cave into them of all things. I don't know why we can't just exterminate them with some horrendous laughing gas or something, but...
Shit, I'd just shoot a spell at them or something and they would all die. Yeah. They're imps. They're imps, not anything formidable whatsoever, but that's not fun.
Yeah, that's why we actually need to run them out and, you know, Jagex is encouraging the diplomatic solution because, well, everybody
diplomatic.
Should try...
My ass. This is diplomacy.
Everyone should try and be diplomatic in their day-to-day dealings and not step on each
other's toes. This is just giving in to their demands. I don't think that's really the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. This is the equivalent of, you know, oh, here's a ransom demand. Let's just roll over. But anyways, once you're in there, you basically just need to talk to the first imp, and he'll tell you that he wants a pet Jadenko of all things. Where the Jadenkos come from and why that's the topic this year, who knows? Who knows? And
I hope I am currently doing the event because this is the first free moment I have had this week, pretty much. And I'm just hoping and praying that he gets eaten by the Jadenkos.
I can break that to you that unfortunately that will not happen.
Damn it!
Yeah, but anyways, once you're in there, you talk to the imp, and he wants a Jadenko. And in order to, of course, get a Jadinko, you need to genetically engineer the Jadinko, so to speak, using the
egg machine. Oh, man. So they're advocating eugenics, too? Jagex.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right at the controls here. You get to choose between all the attributes of the Jadinko, from strength, size, speed, agility,
seems
stamina.
Seems I am God, after all, right?
And temperament. Yeah, well, your title is Lord, after all, right?
The divine, as it were.
Well, close enough, right? So,
Lord anyway. Earth, the divine. Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so once you bring the eggs back, you need to fix the machine, which requires a lever, a sprocket, and fish oil. All of these can be found within the immediate area. The sprocket and the lever can be found by searching the machines in the main room and the fish oil.
Oh, this machine makes sense now.
The fish oil comes from
the lines are supposed to be in the bars. Okay, I understand now. That was not made very clear.
Yeah, the lines are supposed to be in the bars.
Okay, Jagex.
And then, basically, in order to do this, if you mouse over each of the attributes, it'll say what the valid range is. So it might be any range, or it might be 500 plus, or negative 250 to positive 250. And then what you do is you just insert various eggs, and each of these eggs has a certain modifier for each of these values, which you can find by mousing over the various attributes down below in the notebook. And then it's from there, I basically found it as, you know, a balancing act, balancing a scale, except rather than two sides of the scale, there were six sides of the scale, if you know what I mean.
And it is really irritating.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes time to do, and you can get it by spamming, but if you spam it, you know, you're probably
going to need more eggs.
Yeah, you're better off just going with actual eggs and using those and using some sense in your head.
Using some sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I mean, in order to solve something like this, I don't even want to begin to think how you would solve this as to how many of these would be, because this effectively could represent a equation with six variables in it, an equation of inequalities, rather, and solving that by hand is really, really
nope.
Painful. Yeah. So somebody could, in theory, you
so
know,
spamming it is.
Sure, sure. But in order to get the eggs, you have three choices. You can thieve them, kill the Jadinkos with melee magic or range, seeing as they have no weakness.
But that's only if you're an asshole.
Or you can do the civil way and hunt them using your hunter skill, which is what I did and what you did as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, civil. Civil, that's how I would describe that. Yes, excellent choice of words. Finally! Jesus!
You got your pet for the guy, I assume?
I hope so. This is exactly the right... Okay. Oh, I have to do it once more, don't I?
Twice more for medium XP lamps, but that's not part of the quest.
Alright, well, I'm running to ringleader asshole up here.
And he should tell you that you were successful, I think.
Alright, he wants this Jadinko. Okay.
But did you get
so
the...
So now I've got to make another one.
Did you get the screen unlocking your reward, or no?
No, I have to make him one. I have to do it twice, and then I have to make one.
Oh, so you just completed the sample then?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know...
I have four of these shits. Let's do this. Let's not discard. Let's... All right, so we want size to go up, and then we want agility up. Okay, so size, I need to take that down a little because it'll bitch at me if... Yay, I did it!
Okay, good. So now that you got the attributes right, you need to hatch the egg. And hatching the egg is interesting because you put it on this incubator thing and you need to keep the egg standing straight because otherwise it'll tip from side to side. And you also need to destroy any obstacles that come in by clicking them. kind of similar
to
what
reason,
the snowboard event.
There's, oh god, it was like that. That was awful. At least the snowboard one didn't have a background, though, did it?
Yeah, it was just set to the background of the world, so.
That was no fun. Then there's like bread. I don't quite understand that, but
yeah, there's also cabbages.
Yeah, there's cabbages in this one. There wasn't in the earlier one. You have to do this one twice.
I saw an onion symbol. I also saw a Saradobin symbol as well. Zaro symbol.
And there's a sun.
There's lots of interesting little things floating around. It's kind of like one of those games, you know, that you give a 5-year-old to test their reaction speed. I mean, I don't think we are 5-year-olds, but that is what this reminded me of, if I must say so myself.
Hmm.
But anyways, so you've hatched your second egg. That was pretty quick for the second one.
Just happened. 69 seconds. All right. This Jujinko is perfect. Just what I wanted. I've got to show it to the others. No, wait, that's my Easter bunny voice.
So, anyways, all
Julian? Julian. What kind of a shitty name is that?
That's what mine was named as well.
A deal is a deal. I've got Julian, and the imps are gone.
Isn't that named after Julius Caesar, though?
I mean, technically.
Anyways, funny story. When I was doing my egg hatching here, I was kind of comatose at the time, and it took me a little while longer than it should have to realize what was going on, and I was under the impression that there were 12 eggs I needed to get rather than just 9. So I spent about half an hour hunting eggs thinking I was missing 3 when I wasn't.
Oh, Shane. All right, where's Mr. Easter Bunny? Where the hell is he? He ran away!
He's in the main room with the bank chest, no?
Oh, damn it. Why did he go inside? You're not allowed to change locations. Then I have to actually look for you. They're gone. I knew you could do it. Now I can get on with using those Jujinkos to deliver eggs in record time. I'm giving you a spare lamp I had, as well as some more gifts. Oh boy, I'm all done.
So, rating out of 5.
5.
Really?
Yeah?
Even though last week's quest was a 5.
It's what they promised us. This is a Jagex holiday event. I mean, it's not the Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza.
I'll give that to you because
This reminded me of one of the old ones.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as I'm a bitch. Oh shit! I got a thieving level from that. Hot damn.
Oh, and that's something else. This is an excellent place for thieving because the Jujinkos are 215 XP a pop.
Damn. How is that like real fast?
I didn't clock the XP per hour because I don't know how fast the imp boxes work. But it would need to break 500k XP an hour if that was going to be the case.
Is it? Like, what do I have to do? I didn't even do... Yeah, we didn't... I mean, you mentioned that there was the fighting bit you could do and the thieving bit, but what kind of thieving is it?
It's like pickpocketing from a chest kind of thing.
So...
It's just basically thieving from a chest or a nest, as it's called in this case, and then they disappear after a while, and then you move on to the next one and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Ultimately, though, I think the thieving, or no, not the thieving, the hunter is going to be the way to go since, I mean, we already have fast ways of training hunter. And, I mean, you might as
you
well
mean
net
thieving?
Some, yes, thieving, sorry. You might as well get some fast hunter XP while you can here.
Okay, so what do I do with all the eggs now that I'm done?
You just got to keep them, and you can create 2 more Jujinkos for 2 medium lamps. So you just keep thieving eggs until you have enough to make 2 more Jujinkos. You get 2 medium lamps, And then, as far as I know, that's the only use for the eggs.
Hmm. Okay. I guess I'll do that then.
Which is kind of, I mean, disappointing that you've used so many eggs.
No, that is not disappointing. That is very, very happy. Because I do not want to have to grind to do any of this shit. Like this.
All right. Well, I'll give this year's Easter update a 4, primarily, you know, since it's traditional.
Because you're on a logarithmic scale?
No.
Well, but you are.
I know, but, I mean, well, I guess so when you think about it. It is logarithmic.
I know.
Anyways. Let's talk rewards. So you get the XP lamp, as you mentioned. You also get a Jadinko pet. Are you gonna equip that?
Probably not.
All right. You also get a pretty neat Easter egg juggling emote. Check your emotes panel for that.
Yeah. I also got the jazz hands.
Yeah, that was the April Fool's thing for anybody who likes.
I got a chuckle out of that one.
Yeah, they looked like something else, but we'll talk about that in a moment, I think.
What?
I don't know. It just looked like...
It looked like something else?
Yeah, I mean...
What's that supposed to mean, Shane? You dirty boy.
It looked like you had, like, shot put balls on your hand from a distance.
Okay.
You also get the Jadinko slipper override, egg on a fork weapon override, and a... Cooking eggs.
A Jadinko slippers? Oh, so I can be a furry. Okay.
Oh, cool. Dear. Furries have come to RuneScape, have they?
Shit, have you seen that shark, Shane? Is that this week's update? Do I get to rant about shark, or was that last week?
That was last week, and I remember I came and found you when I got my full shark outfit?
And I teleported away. No, I hopped worlds, actually.
Anyways.
Jesus, bunch of sharks.
Moving forward, this event will be in-game until the 13th of April. And get some free XP while you're at it. That's what these holiday events are always good for, in my view.
Woo!
Yeah, but 4 out of 5 for me and 5 out of 5 for you. So, well done. Overall, and I mean, I was most intrigued by the math side of, you know, solving those formulas. But that's just me. Alrighty.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could do that fairly easily with a calculator, but who wants to take time to do that when they can just spam, right?
I mean, a system of 6 equations within an inequality, you definitely need a calculator for that.
Well, yeah, but you just put a value like in the middle or something.
Yeah.
I have a program on there that can do it.
Oh, that's
TI-84.
That's nice. You know, we were never allowed to use programs on our TI-84s.
Sucks.
Our TI-83s.
I programmed something that would do synthetic division up to 5th degree polynomial equations.
Oh, nice.
So that's how I passed that exam. But then it came back and got me in calculus because I couldn't remember how to do it. Although to be fair, no one else did either. So.
Well, you should have come to me doing polynomial synthetic division.
I did.
Was something I excelled at, and we actually had rituals in our math exams where
you had rituals in your math exams.
Well, yeah, the teachers would always come by, you know, make you do a force wipe of your calculator to ensure you had no extra programs on them.
A what?
Yeah, they'd make you, you know, essentially format the entire memory of the calculator, but then they'd...
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's
bullshit.
The way it worked. That's the way it worked.
Boo.
This
Boo.
Was in high school.
Pressing and, my rights.
Of course, in university, calculators were not allowed on my math exams. I don't know about yours.
Yep, which I loved.
Yep. You're not doing true math if you're using a calculator, in my view.
Exactly. But, you're doing arithmetic.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, but that kind of, you know, got a bit off track there. And as you can tell, numbers are something that's very interesting to both Earth and myself.
As you can tell by me having 27-107-2 for over a decade.
Yes, and me 1-2-0-8-8.
Not really.
So picking things up on the spring event kind of thing, also this week, the Guthixian butterflies have returned.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're quite prevalent.
They're even just in random places in the wilderness.
Wow. You were in the wilderness?
Yeah, I had to go get some skulls for my house, you know, because that's a normal thing to do.
Yeah. Anyways, you can catch 20 of these butterflies a day. Each of them will give you XP in your lowest skill. At level 90 divination, I get around 1980 XP per butterfly. So if I catch all 20 every day, I'll definitely have 91 divination by the time this is over.
Wait, how much XP do you get per?
1980 at level 90 divination. So, yeah, I'm getting...
Most impressive.
Yeah, I'm getting like 39,000 divination. I mean, dungeoneering XP every day. I don't know why, but I always confuse dungeoneering and divination. I always confuse dungeoneering and divination when talking about them on vocal. I don't know why that happens, but dungeoneering, my friends, dungeoneering.
I don't know.
But yeah, definitely check those out. And as you said, they are everywhere.
Like you walk
2 feet.
I don't know where I was going with that.
You walk.
I really
2 feet
have no idea where
them.
I was going. Yeah, sure. That's what I was gonna say.
Yep.
Nice save. They'll
Anyways,
never know.
In other news this week, April Fools on RS. The Jazz Hands is the event that everyone gets, or the item that everyone gets this year.
Do we still have them?
No, it was only if you logged in on the first.
Well, no. Do we still have them?
Yes.
Yeah. Sweet!
Also, there was cow tipping, which acted as a form of money sink where you can tip cows for the service they offer. So you could give them a tip of 1 GP, 10 GP, or all the way up to, you know, like 2 billion GP if you wanted to. And there's actually...
Yeah, I think someone did that.
Yeah, there was a high scores out for that, so...
Oh my god, there was a high scores for...
For cow tipping.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well, I mean, people will do what they want to do for, you know, a quick claim to fame or something like that. But I gotta say, it's a very ingenious way of doing a money sink one day a year.
I guess.
It's just really unfortunate that there was no news posting about the hands, this, or the giant chickens.
Yeah, giant chickens.
Yeah, basically you'd walk into Lumbridge and you'd see these huge chickens that were like 3 times taller than a house.
Wow.
Yeah, indeed.
All right.
But yeah, everyone gets the Jazz Hands who logged in, and you get to keep them. And personally, they look like shot put balls glued to your hand.
Yay.
I don't know if anybody out there has ever competed in shot put. But...
Have you, Shane?
Yes, once upon a time.
Did you win?
No.
Did you come close to winning?
No, unfortunately. I wasn't given the license to obliterate the competition.
What does that mean? Like, kick their ass?
Well, no. But, you know what it takes in a competition. Anyways.
No, I don't.
All right, well, we'll leave that to the listener's interpretation, then.
Shane, they're going to think you're a psychopath if you don't clear that up.
Well, it just basically means that I think that if you're ever in a competition, you should go to all means necessary to win.
So he's basically saying you should beat the shit out of your competition.
If the sport allows it, yes.
Because they can't win if their legs don't work, right, Shane?
Exactly, and I think that's one of your quotes. All right. Also, this week, Jagex put out a nice little public service announcement reminding everybody that at the end of April, Google Chrome will no longer support Java, which means, of course, you won't be able to play RS in Chrome.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that, although I haven't played Chrome in the browser in a while.
Yeah, it's something that's been, you know, on the radar for quite some time, and I commend Google for doing this, because outside of Adobe Reader and Adobe Flash, the second largest attack vector in the browser space is Java. Malicious Java applets. So just completely, you know, removing the Java plugins from a browser increases the amount of security that you have, because, I mean, if you don't have the attack surface, how are you going to make the attack happen, right?
Yep.
So, well, some people might say, oh my god, what am I going to do? I think on this point,
it's the last time you use Java for anything other than RuneScape.
Exactly. And I mean, the RS client for both Windows and Mac works pretty well. You just download it and
it works better than it did in Chrome.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Because there's always been some kind of issue, you know, in Chrome when you would change tabs, and sometimes you might get little artifacts on your screen if you had RS running in a different tab. So it's about time this happens. But of course, Java will continue to work in Firefox and IE. And a number of years ago, actually, the folks at Apple made this change to OS X so that Safari does no longer run Java.
And when did they do that?
A number of years ago. So,
did you say 2010?
I don't know how many years ago. Like, maybe I want to say 10.8 or 10.9. We're on 10.10 currently.
So, those numbers mean nothing to me,
OS
by the
versions.
Way.
So let me just say that 2012 or 2013, something like
okay,
that happened.
Thank you.
But, you know, there are ways to get it to run in your browser if you absolutely want it to on OS X, but it's definitely not advised to do that, so we can see why Jagex did that. And there's a link in the show notes that goes to the news posting for this, runescape.com/browser support. You can directly download the client for both platforms there and be off to the races in no time.
Woo!
All right, so tweaks and fixes this week. anything in the patch notes jump out for you?
The Ultimate Quester title has been added. That's exciting, especially for people in my clan. Everyone's been all yee about that this week. Basically, if you have the quest cape, you get this title.
Yeah, so. I activated that title on my character.
Why?
What do you mean, why? I always used to wear the quest point cape before I got 99 farming, and now that I, you know, focus on farming, I think it's good that I have another way of showing off that I've done all the quests.
Fair.
And, I mean,
fair point.
Like, if a Grandmaster quest comes out,
for example.
Are you okay?
I accidentally almost pressed restart now, but I think we're good. Let me do a shutdown. Shutdown dash day. All right. We're good. We're good. We're good.
You know, many years ago, I once did that while I was recording this. I accidentally shut my Mac off.
But yeah.
Anyways, like if a Grandmaster quest comes out or something like that, I will swap to the quest point cape for a week, you know, just to show that it's been done, because I normally do the quests a day or two after they come out.
It is finished.
Yes. Sometimes I do like to wait a couple days, you know, just so it's closer to the recording time. But there are times where I just want to do the quest on the day it comes out. So it's a balancing act for me. But anyways. Also this week, weekly resetting D&Ds will now reset closer to midnight UTC on Wednesdays instead of up to an hour later.
That's good.
Yeah,
especially
I know,
for Team Penguin, because yep. I know whenever I went to help them out, you literally just sat there for an hour.
Yeah, I remember when we did that segment last year with them. It was only 20 minutes that time, but
that was a very short reset then.
Yeah, and I remember they said, oh, sometimes it can be up to 55 minutes past the hour. You're lucky this week. That's very nice. Also, there's no longer a delay when activating prayers, similar to the ability change a while back. So combat is very, very responsive now. And I think you would take good advantage of this if you were fighting Slayer creatures that require the use of Soul Split or something like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you might be able to abuse this and bring back some of that prayer flashing kind of business that happened way back when in RS2. So I don't know. But overall, very nice change. You know, if you are fighting creatures that, oh, they're attacking with range, let's activate the ranged prayer quickly. There we go. What's up?
I could never do that.
Yeah, neither could I. And that's one of the downsides of fighting Glacors, actually, is that you need to change prayers like that. So this will definitely help with that, and combating the lag and whatnot. Collect all and bank all buttons have been added to the Grand Exchange. So basically, if you're at the Grand Exchange and you have, say, 6 completed offers, you can either send them directly to your bank or send them directly to your inventory.
Wait, are you talking about the buttons in the collection box?
No, like in the main Grand Exchange window, if you go there, there's two big buttons.
Okay, but the ones in the collection box have been there for a while, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
These are actually on the GE window itself. But, I mean, I've never really had that much of a problem with that, but I don't do...
Yes, that's very nice.
Huge amounts
that's
of
very nice, because now you can right-click abort all of them if you need to, and then collect all, and it's very happy.
Abort! Abort! Pull out! Pull out! Pull out!
Indeed.
Before your plane goes down. Then finally some changes made to rune spheres in the rune span. Siphoning will now grant more XP from the rune spheres. Players will now siphon dust from the rune spheres faster. Wizard Phoenix and other wizards can now help locate a rune sphere. The rune spheres can now spawn on the top floor. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I would do rune span, I would just totally ignore the rune spheres because I would be up on the
top
floor.
Yes, everyone did. Because you would have to go search for them, and that's XP waste.
Mm-hmm. Alter the chance of spawning a rune sphere so it prefers the top two floors. And the starting shell of the rune sphere now more closely relates to the sphere or the floor that it spawns on.
Yay.
Very fun indeed, and I mean, really, who doesn't love RuneSpan these days?
I feel so dirty using it, though.
Yeah, but would you rather spend hours and hours runecrafting nature
than
Grack?
Days, let's be real.
Okay,
days.
Days, sure.
300,000 runes?
Yep.
That's gonna take days.
I agree, and I mean, I always think back to the days of runecrafting with Larry R. when he was the first person to reach 91 runecrafting. I mean, there would be huge lineups of 20 people waiting for him to, you know, transact. And a whole, you know, little community evolved out of this old-fashioned runecrafting. And, well, I mean, I guess you could do that now, but RuneSpan is definitely the way to go for XP.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Anything else in the patch notes for you?
No. The quest one was really the only one that jumped out at me.
Alrighty then. Moving on from that, we have a poll this week. It's the opinion poll, update size versus frequency. So.
I'm glad the poll is going this way.
Okay. Why?
Because that's...
Why do you prefer this way?
Because I don't want an update every week.
Okay. Well...
Do you?
I mean, it's a hard decision for me. Because I ultimately have to think of a number of factors in this, but I mean, one or two updates a month to the game, that's new content. I don't know.
Well, think of the percentage of it that has been dead. Have you even done the Nexus or the Crucible? Or I don't even know what this Quercus guy is for.
No, I have not, actually. So, and I mean, that's the positive point for going this way. But I think the negative point is that we are effectively stepping away from what RuneScape has been for so long in that. I'm not saying that, you know, we should just ultimately stick with what we're doing because it makes sense to do that. I just think that's the way RuneScape has been designed, and it's known great success. Now, granted, you like you said, we do have lots of dead content around this, but I think there are other ways of looking at this. I mean, we don't need a poll to decide whether we're going to have three or four updates a month versus one or two. If Jagex wants, they can say we're going to give you larger updates, one or two a month, and we're going to give you patch notes and ninja fixes the other 2 weeks. I just don't think we need a poll about that. I think the polls should be used to influence what the content will be, if that's the direction they want to go, and we've seen that over the past year.
I think that they could have done that, but I don't think they wanted to do that like on their own, because people would say RuneScape is dying.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
But
that's
this
true.
Way, it looks like a decision. Excuse me, a decision made by the players.
Yeah, and I mean the two reasons that I'm really against larger but fewer updates is the first one is that I don't think the players should be making decisions as to the development.
Well, we
cycle
know you
game.
Don't think that.
And the second reason is, do we really want to become the podcast of ninja fixes and patch notes 2 out of 4 weeks a month?
Who knows? We'll see what happens. I mean, I manage to be entertaining every week, right?
Yeah, me too. And I mean, if anybody, you know, wants something discussed, we can just go on and on for hours, like we went on and on for minutes about the math thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
So send in those questions, especially on non-update weeks, y'all. Do you like that plug? update.rsbnb.com/ask?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I would even be willing to show you guys all my method for synthetic polynomial division.
Oh boy. I'm just so excited about that. It's the most exciting thing I've ever heard.
All right. So 27% want it to stay the same. Larger but fewer is at 52%. And I don't mind. 19%.
Is that option growing with each poll?
It certainly seems so. It certainly seems so. Oh, wow.
All right. What? What
someone,
did you do?
No, someone tipped a cow for 66 mil. Because they thought it was a joke. And all their money disappeared.
Where are you seeing this?
The official forums.
Why the hell are you looking at that shithole?
It's Google. Google told me to look there.
Google told you?
Yeah, it's the first result for cow tipping RuneScape high scores. Our second result, I just tipped a cow for 66 mil. Oh, and we even got a petition going now for keeping the April 1st updates. Nice! I'm sorry. Anyways, back on track. Rune Labs for April. Medium-sized skilling update. Have any ideas for your favorite skills, Reed?
Wait, what is it? Sorry?
Medium-sized...
I was reading this guy bitching.
Medium-sized skilling updates.
God damn it.
Examples
I just
include,
redid my house.
Examples include Herbler Habitat, Elder Divination, and the Ectofunctus.
How about a construction update?
I don't want to, you know, poke anywhere in the eye, but we do have the aquarium coming.
The aquarium, Shane. It.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason I kind of paused on that is because, well, it also mentions the aquarium as a medium-sized update.
That's a medium-sized update?
Yes.
I'd call that a large piece of shit, but yeah. I'd not call that a medium-sized update.
You haven't seen your fishies yet. Give them a chance.
They're fish!
Yes, and you like sending fish to Patrick.
Yeah, so they're away from me.
All right. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but definitely...
No, we'll swim under it because there are fish.
True, right. Well, I can't swim, but anyways, yeah, submit your ideas, and we'll talk about some of our favorite ideas next week, but currently the ideas in the top three, as of a day in, are Elf City Waterfall Fishing, the Soul Rune Altar and Skilling Spells, and the Elven Woods, a Priftinus expansion, which I don't think we need.
No, we do not.
Yes. Okie dokie. And finally, Treasure Hunter Second Chance. So, from April 2nd through April 9th, you will be given the opportunity to reroll rewards on Treasure Hunter using Shattered Hearts. Or Hearts of Ice, I'm sorry. So, basically, if you don't like the idea of what you get, well, you can reroll it for 10 Hearts of Ice.
Ooh.
So imagine you get, say...
Now I'll use all the 10 billion of them.
Yeah, yeah. I have over 700 that I've been keeping, and I don't know why I was keeping them. But
I have 641, and I've used them before, but...
Yeah.
Eh.
Also, speaking of Treasure Hunter, the Coin of Balance and both Enchanted and Magical Bunny Eggs will be coming back. In addition to the prayer boosting first age outfit. So those will also be back for this week. In case anybody is wondering, the Coin of Balance is a little coin that you can get. It's basically a way of flipping a coin in RS.
Gambling!
No, you're just flipping a coin, yes or no.
All right.
Unfortunately, the wiki page isn't loading. So I can't tell you what all the chat options are on it, but I guess that's because it's the official RS wiki, right?
Yep.
But this was first released in March 2013, so 2 years ago.
It doesn't have chat options. Just click on it in your inventory to ask Guthix, and it will choose between heads or tails.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry, not chat options, but there you go.
Okay.
All right, so apparently your Windows computer likes to restart itself sometimes, even though you tell it not to while it's running Windows updates, but...
Well, gotta love the Windows 10 technical preview, right?
Oh, that's running on there, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought I told you that.
No, we'll talk more about that later then. Alrighty. Well, we're pretty much done with RS updates. That means it's time to go over to Paul.
No! Not again.
Paul's
isn't he
back.
Dead yet?
Wow.
Needs to just go marry that guy again, and then... Or no, he shouldn't do that, because that's how you noticed him.
Yeah.
That was a sad day in RSBNB history.
Wow. Anyways, yes, Paul is back.
Not
this
really,
week.
I love Paul. He just talks for a really, really, really long time.
He's back this week, and he is going to be talking about Rune Goldberg and Vizwax, specifically what you can do with Vizwax and how it can actually be used to make a little bit of profit if you need it. So let's have a listen to his discussion on Vizwax.
Hello, this is SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. This is the RuneScape Need to Know series, where we take a look at features that you may have missed from updates gone by. Hopefully you'll learn something useful. Last time we took a look at player-owned ports, and this week we'll be looking at VZWAX. VZ was introduced in September 2014 as a way to extend or reset auras, increase divine location gathering limits, reroll or extend a daily challenge, or reset a harmony pillar. Auras can be extended by 50 to 100% with varying amounts of wax required. However, each aura can only be reset once per cooldown period. Increasing gathering limits for divine locations by 50% costs 20 wax, while 100% costs 40 wax. This is incredibly useful as you can often gain at least some of your money back, while in turn gaining experience quickly. I used this to train Hunter and Mining to get them up to a higher level. It was very quick and cheap because I got the V's wax for essentially free. You can also reset a Harmony Pillar at Priv Thinas, costing 10 wax, which will allow you to change the skill. Or you can reroll or extend a daily challenge, which can change your task or double the reward, which includes both the experience and the items. The other use for V's wax is to sell to other players. By using the Rune Goldberg machine and often low-priced runes, players can gain a hefty profit on a daily basis. Just look up V's wax on the official forums to find current knowledge on the combinations and what profits or losses to expect. The only requirement is 50 runecrafting to get in the runecrafting guild. Now, today we are in the runecrafting guild, and we are standing next to the V's wax machine, or the Rune Goldberg machine for V's wax, rather. It is a daily event, so every day at midnight you can come back and do it again. Today, looking on the thread, it looks like body is the first rune. The second is either lava, nature, or blood, so I'm going to try nature. And the third is always random, so I like to use fire because I have a lot of it. And this would get me 76 wax, which is not a whole lot. I will see if I can swap the nature out, and hopefully it's blood. This brings it up to 85, so that these are the smiley face means it is the best. And fire isn't the best, so we can try swapping that out. It must be near fire, but I don't know. That went way down. Air, 98. Almost perfect. Can't get much better. Now, this will cost me 2,040 blood, or sorry, 2,040 body, 357 blood, and 1,020 air, and that will get me 98 V's wax. Now, I'm not going to calculate how much that actually cost me, but I can show you what that's worth, taking out my glory. It would approximately get me 600,000 GP, and I can tell you that, blood is not worth that much anymore. I can't even remember the other runes I used. But anyway, very cheap. It's probably a 400,000 GP gain. So, always worth to do it. You can swap out the more expensive runes for cheaper ones. Just take a look at the threads. They will tell you what to do. If it's a very expensive rune, you can swap it out for something cheaper. You generally expect to get at least 70 plus, if not 80 plus. It's pretty easy to do and almost guaranteed profit every day. So, thanks again. I am SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. See you next week.
Anyways, thank you, Paul.
God damn it. It's finally over.
Yeah, and I had to fix his audio a bit,
thought
too.
He would never stop.
Because it's very harsh on the ears, so I told him to make a pop filter with some pantyhose, but those weren't available. Anyways.
You'd
on to
think
questions.
They would be.
Yeah.
Woo!
On to questions we go. First one is from Art of Dvorak. Shane, what's your favorite read quote? Also, if you could put a read sound in TF Tuesdays, what would it be? And TF Tuesdays is also what our PC gaming event is called, which happens every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, so you can join us. We play TF2, Half-Life 2, Deathmatch, all sorts of things like that. My favorite read quote would have to come down to two instances here on the show. The first one being way back when we were discussing Evolution of Combat in the classic. Oh, God, it's different.
Oh, God, it's different.
There you go. And then there was a time you flew off the handle when they were thinking of adding in the yo-yo and Easter Bunny ears as rune coin items last year.
Wait, really? What did I say?
You're like, no, that's my yo-yo. You can't.
My yo-yo. You, that's my yo-yo.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. Lots
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Those are the best.
you know, something like that. Always both the yo-yo. But in addition to read sounds on TF2 Tuesdays, we could you know, go with a well actually one, I think.
Actually, there's a guy I knew in high school who did that, and it's just become a running joke. Hi, if you're listening.
Probably not.
I really hope he's not listening. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, people didn't exactly know that there was a way of talking like people like talking about, or talking like he did, right?
What the hell did you just say?
I said people probably didn't know that, you know, there were people that like talking like him, right?
It didn't like talking like him. He just does. Wait,
yeah.
What?
I'm basically asking.
I'm
confused. Did he know that you and others, you know, imparted that part of his vocal way of speaking?
Are you asking if he knew that other people made fun of him?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just say that. You know, I'm not rightly sure, sir. He was oblivious a lot of the time.
Oh, well, that's
not
okay.
Unlike yourself.
Oh. Well, I'm sure he was a nice person.
Yeah, he's very nice. Unless you were mean to him, then he was an asshole. But I think that was justified.
Yeah, so. That's good. Anyways, and then of course the second one that I think we need to get is for body shots, and I mean we're not going to say exactly what you like to say, but I will just deliberately.
Didn't that happen exactly one time?
No, it happened numerous times when you got shot with the machina in a body shot, and ever since then, if we're on opposite teams,
it's just
teams,
my roommate Andrew. He body shot me with the machina, which is like the worst thing you can ever do. And you know, since I live with him and my door was open, I just yelled at the top of my voice, "Nice body shot!" And it's just become a running joke since then.
Yeah? Anyways, thank you. Thank you, Art of Dvorak Andrew, who was temporary site owner today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question, please.
I got nothing. Hold on. As Shane mentioned a moment ago, my computer decided to restart, so I'm on my Surface currently, attempting to get everything back. Don't ask for codes again on this computer.
All right,
almost there, I promise.
I sent you a linky.
Oh, God, it made the noise. No, don't ever send me another message on Skype again, please, until I fix that. I hate the Skype. No, don't even. Don't even. I will resign. And this question is from the ever-lovely Cole Tun. Why, here we are again, my beloved hosties. Your questions for this episode are as follows. If you could pick only one song to play at your own funeral, which would it be and why? I had a friend who once told us to play circus music at his. He's at an Ivy League university now. And the second question. Oh no, the dreaded and oft overplayed zombie apocalypse is upon us, and you both are the only people in your immediate area that remain human. Where do you go, and what two things do you bring with you? Also, who do you look for first to see if you can team up, given that they are still alive? Third, going back to my movie-related question last week, when you're at the cinema, which armrests do you take? Also, where do you sit in the theater? And final question, what sock style do you like best? Length, thickness, color, the whole nine yards. I can't wait to learn more about the feat of our great and powerful overlords.
Oh,
thanks
boy.
Again for your time. Love, Colton. All right, Shane, what song would you play at your funeral?
You know, that's kind of something that's a bit of a downer to think about. But, you know, I think over time, you know, a good send-off to some kind of orchestral Star Trek piece would probably be good.
God, they play the music that happens whenever they do a funeral on the Starship Enterprise, right? Shoot you off into space.
No, but okay.
Rip, Shane. Shit, I don't know. I don't want to think about that. I got nothing.
Hopefully we won't be thinking about that for another 70 years or so, right?
Well, I certainly won't be thinking about it because I'll be dead.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, like, so anyway, next question.
Ah, yes.
Zombie apocalypse.
What do we bring? Well, I know we're going to team up with Mike. We definitely need to get him, right?
Oh, you are.
Yes, true, right. Yes, okay. There's number one. And where do you go? I think given our geographic location, a good hideout in the mountains to the west of us would probably be the best place to be. And, you know, of course, what to bring. I mean, just, you know, the bare essentials.
All right, so I would probably look for... I don't know. I'd probably take Josh or Andrew along. Or I'd try to find one of them. My two engineering roommates, they would be very helpful. Probably Josh first, because he's guns and trucks and stuff like that. And where do I go? The opposite direction of Atlanta.
Because that's where Left 4 Dead took place.
Yeah, that's where I went through Atlanta. But, I mean, Atlanta a few years ago was the fastest growing civilization in all of history.
Yeah.
So, I'm going away from there.
Yeah, if something like that broke out there, that'd be pretty bad. You wouldn't take Forrest with you? He seems very, you know, outdoorsy and capable in the forest.
Forrest would be, he was my RA last year. Forrest would be a third choice, yes.
Good.
But Andrew and Josh only because they would probably be close by.
That's good.
And you're at the cinema. Which armrests do you take? And where do you sit in the theater, Shane?
Well, I typically, you know, try to get an edge seat because I don't like being sandwiched.
Yeah, for me, there's a struggle between, and I take the right armrest. Whenever I sit somewhere, same. I like something to be on my right that I can lean towards. You know, I also don't like sitting with my back towards an exit, but whatever. Or the entrance, rather. And
yeah, that makes sense.
There's the struggle between sitting in the middle so that you have a better view and the struggle between sitting on the end because people.
Yep.
Because when I go to basketball games, if there's not a seat, just on the end of a row, I'll just stand for the 2 hours and a bit. Because I don't do this at movies, but at basketball games, I'll walk around.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. And I can see why you do that. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. So what sock style do you like best, Shane?
Well, I mean, it depends what you're doing, right? I mean,
do tell.
Well, I mean, overall, nothing too thick and nothing made of wool. Those are two big no-nos for me. I mean, I don't know what to call length. I guess medium, like not like knee-high, and definitely not like ankle short. And, you know, either gray, black, or white, depending what else you're wearing.
So for me, during the day, I will either go no socks with Sperry's.
What the hell are those?
You can tell on you uncultured Philistine. You don't know what Sperry's are?
No.
My God. Go back to lumberjacking. Jesus.
Do tell. What are they?
They're like the fancy shoes, but they're casual fancy.
Okay.
But you can wear them without socks. So if you want to know when I don't give a shit, it's when I'm wearing Sperry's and shorts and a t-shirt. It used to be flip-flops, but then I realized, that's kind of disgusting. But then I realized that I could just slip into my Sperry's. Because flip-flops, you can just, you know, put your feet in and go. You can pretty much do the same thing with Sperry's with only a tiny bit more effort. And it looks better. So,
all right.
No socks there. But I normally just wear tennis shoes with short socks. I mean, white socks. And then at night, I will wear nice, long, gold toe white socks, which are very comfortable and very warm.
Are they made with actual gold?
Yes, clearly.
Yeah, because, I mean, ever since the gold iPhones came out, people can't get enough gold in their life, right?
Make it rain, playa.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you, Colton, for that. Very interesting to hear to hear a side of Reed that I don't see.
To hear a side of me that you don't see.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like I can see you at all when we're doing this, so.
I guess. All right, so. I guess I'll read it. So, this question is from Not Your Child 1. Hey, pals, I was wondering if you could go back in time and exchange all the hours of RS gameplay and all subsequent RS achievements you have achieved along the way for one real-world skill. What do you? Learning another language, for example, or perhaps mastering an instrument. Also, Earth and other hosts, do you find Shane's voice to be attractive? I do. Thanks, big fan. Not Your Child 1. Wow, Shane, you have a fan.
Oh, yeah. I've had a number over the years who, you know, feel that way and, you know, other ways as well. So, but it doesn't surprise me.
Ever modest, Shane.
No?
And no, if I could, I don't think I would. Because, I mean, I started playing in 2004 and just all of the friends I've made along the way have been well worth it. But if I did, the one real-life skill... I don't know. What about you, Shane?
And same thing for me. If I could, I wouldn't. And the same reason you said, the friends and, you know, the people you meet doing this, it's just really great. You know, case in point, you and pretty much everyone else involved with RSBNB. And,
Brad, Trekkie.
Yep. Paul, everyone, you name it.
You never would have gone to New Zealand.
That's true. And, I mean, yeah, that was definitely a great experience with that. So... that wouldn't have happened, and I can say various other things wouldn't have happened with these people, given the influence and discussions that all of us have had. So lives have been changed for the better because of this.
They really have. Like, I made an effort when my when I got my 10-year cape. I sent the guy who originally introduced me RS a message and was like, hey, thanks for showing me RS. I mean, you stopped playing long ago, but it has really changed a lot about me and influenced who I am because of all of the great friends that I've made. So,
yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And, I mean, if I...
I mean, I am very thankful that he did that, because otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Exactly. And, I mean, there's decisions you make along the way, too, as to, you know, when to lower the shields, per se. And, I mean, if I hadn't have lowered my shields a couple of times, I think certain things might not have happened. But, anyways.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, just... You, because, I mean, remember?
Me?
Remember way back when you would sign on in the morning? That would be a sign that to Brad and myself that it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Asshole. Oh, Earth is on. Time to go to bed.
And then there is also the time that I blocked Brad because he wouldn't buy my maple logs.
Again, ass.
But we moved well beyond that.
Clearly.
Yes, but you know what? You hit the nail on the head with other things. I mean, if I had to trade RS for something, I would trade it for the ability to speak fluently both French and Chinese.
What? So you can surrender and...
No, because French is the other official language of Canada, and it can be useful in various federal government positions. And Chinese, because China is an up-and-coming country, and one day China is going to play a huge role in the world. And I think if people are able to speak Chinese, it will do well for them.
Okay.
I'd say Russia, but I mean, as well. But we'll see how long Vladimir Putin survives. Anyways, thank you for those questions, everyone. We are moving on to tech news right now.
Ooh, tech news.
All right.
So, speaking of Project Spartan, that is the browser I am currently using.
Yes, in Windows 10. They pushed out a build this week, and I mean...
I mean, my computer just came up a few minutes ago, but it's... I like it. There's nothing glaringly bad about it yet, but I've also been using it for approximately 4 minutes. So preliminary analysis is I'm not running away screaming. So excellent.
Yeah, and Project Spartan sets out to accomplish one main thing, and that is to make it so that folks who use Windows can have a browser that is actually usable on their computer without needing to worry about security and, you know, is this a modern browser and should I be using Chrome or Firefox or something? So Spartan goes a long way to fix things like that, and it's going to eventually run Google Chrome extensions.
What the? I have Internet Explorer open just in another tab, or on my right monitor, and I have Spartan in the middle, and it's Gmail is telling me that my browser configuration is not supported on the Internet Explorer one, so beta builds, y'all.
Yeah.
Woo!
And so that was in IE it was telling you that, not Spartan?
Correct.
Very interesting.
Let me go to Gmail and Spartan and tell you.
Because Spartan, for me, identified as Internet Explorer 7.
Really?
Yes.
It's not bitching at me. So, all right, I'm going to go to the forums. Tell me what the thing is.
All right, I'll tell you if it's the same as what mine
hold
was.
Hold on. I need to do the login thing. Oh, shit.
But there's lots of great features on Spartan, you know, aside from the new UI and slimmed down experience.
Walk us through it, Shane.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got the basic, you know, tab browsing, search from the URL bar, that kind of thing, as we've come to expect over the past number of years. But it's truly making the internet browser something where you want to spend time. It has a built-in reading list similar to Safari, which you can, you know, just... as you're going through your day, add things to the reading list, and then later when you're done for the day, go through them and read them in a nice, pleasing view that, you know, cuts down on the clutter and just makes it large. So if you're reading on your Surface or on your phone, it's actually more readable than the silly fonts web designers sometimes use. it's also got what is called a note markup view, where you can create notes on the web page, meaning you can, you know, draw scribbles, add comments, highlight things, stuff like that. And for me, that's really useful.
Oh, cool. So I'm going to be able to have a use for the Surface Bin.
Exactly. And I mean, I really wish we had something like that for Google Chrome or Safari, because there's countless times where I'm, you know, putting show notes together for update here, and I'm going through dev blogs or whatnot, and I only want to talk about key points. And in the past, when there's been these huge, huge postings, I've resorted to using the third-party Evernote for that. But it's really nice that you're able to do things like that in the browser now on Windows 10. So, and then it comes back so that you're going to be able to share these to, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, a reading
list. And OneNote, presumably.
Yes, and that's the big clincher here, OneNote. For anybody who is on a Microsoft platform, I would highly recommend you check out OneNote, because if you're looking for a note-taking application, even on OS X, OneNote is pretty good. So the integration I think, is a long time coming and very nice. So it's going to be a good browser. And the one thing that we need to take with a caveat here is that, you know, we're not using the Gecko rendering engine that Firefox uses to create the web pages in Spartan. And we're not using the same rendering engine that Chrome uses. We're still using Microsoft's web rendering engine. So it's not as though we're having a fresh start where we need to worry about, oh, is all these pages going to work, kind of thing. It's basically just a rework of Internet Explorer so that it's safe and will be usable for the modern web, which is long overdue. Do you know if they're killing ActiveX for Spartan?
I haven't the slightest idea, because honestly, I don't even know what ActiveX does other than what it's a script thing, right?
Yeah, active scripting where you can make Internet Explorer do crazy things, and it's been one of the biggest security problems of that program.
ActiveX Project Spartan.
Because if they are killing ActiveX and Spartan, that will definitely, you know, increase the reason to use it, because that, as we were talking earlier, decreases your attack surface that you expose yourself to.
Yeah.
Were you able to find anything?
No.
All right. Well, I'll look into that, because I have the Windows 10 build as well, and that's something I just thought of that I didn't look into before. But anybody can try Windows 10. It's a free trial that you can sign up for. Now, I'm not advocating that everybody listening to this...
Hey, if you don't know what a partition is, don't.
Yes. I mean,
if you've never heard of a partition, if you don't know what formatting is, I'm actually going to say no. I would not recommend this unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you can really f*** this up.
Yeah, and I mean, one press of the wrong button and you screw things up, and I will admit...
Yeah, like I almost did earlier, so...
Oh, really? I'm glad it wasn't just me. Because when this Windows 10...
Well, I mean, I got impatient, and then I realized that I hadn't given it enough hard drive space, so... Yeah, like, I just have a 30 gigabyte... part of my SSD that I can't use right now because it's in the middle. It's stupid. Yeah. And if I move the front of the partition, talk about that later.
Yeah. So
Apple's trade-in program now includes non-Apple smartphones and PCs.
Yes, and it's also extended to Canada, the UK, Germany, France, and Italy.
Oh boy.
So if you're in one of these countries, you know, you can bring in old Apple devices or now even non-Apple devices and get credit for it. So if you bring in, you know, an Android phone or a Windows phone, depending on how old it is and what its condition is, they'll give you a pretty good value, up to $250 off your next iPhone. And when you're, you know, looking at upgrading to the iPhone...
Up
to $250.
All right. Bullshit. Don't bring a computer in.
Yeah, they
unless
probably
it's like from 2000.
I don't know if they'd even take something like that. They probably just offer.
Just put it in a nice case, and then you can haggle your way up. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Just put it in a really nice looking case, and then bullshit your way through it. But act like you're supposed to be there. That's how you work with marketing people.
But I mean, if you got like a BlackBerry or something, and you're wanting to upgrade to the iPhone 6S this fall, that's regular $700, and you take $250 off that, that's only $450 that you need to pay for the iPhone 6S if it's in good condition.
Oh boy!
So it really lowers the barrier to entry for people wanting to switch over and get involved with this great ecosystem.
It's not great. Get the run. Run while you still can.
I love it. Anyways, very interesting.
So, Smartbox by Inbox. What is this?
It's a new invention from Gmail, who is also by Google. Well, I mean, you can think as though, oh, this would be very nice. And the reason I included this, because yes, it is April 1st today we are recording this, so a whole bunch of things
but
online.
Google always releases their products on April 1st.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that in a modern home, a smart box like this that, you know, categorizes what's put into it and is smart and has an introduction.
So what is it?
It's basically a mailbox for your house.
Is it real?
No.
All right.
You put stuff in it, and apparently they would give you notifications on your phone when you actually get mail in the real world. And there would be there'd be compartments in it for letters, promotions, bills, and other things like that. So it would have the same categorizing that the current inbox does. But it's genuinely a good idea, I think, because you still need a mailbox on your house, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, give this one a watch. I just included it for a bit of fun because that's what today is. And I would also like to note that on this day, April 1st, 2004, saw the release of Gmail. Everyone thought Gmail was a joke way back when, but it's become Google's most popular thing.
Other than search.
Yeah. Do you remember that back then? When
no.
Okay.
I was in fourth grade.
You weren't concerned about what was going on the internet when you were 10 years old?
Google was barely on the horizon at that point.
Okay.
For me, at least.
I heard about it the day
it was also
it
like
was released.
10.
Yeah.
Or I
nine.
Was 10.
You were 9.
Actually.
Nine.
Nine. Nine.
But yeah, Gmail. Always remember that this is the day that Gmail came into existence. But.
Hooray!
Alrighty, everyone. There's your tech news for the week. And remember, do not install Windows 10 Preview unless you absolutely know what you are doing. Alright. So, on to other things. The March Skill of the Month has ended, and we do not have any results yet for the April Skill of the Month, so we cannot tell you by how much Tim is winning after the first day.
Oh man.
Shane. I bet.
Nice vote of confidence for everyone else.
Well, I mean, he's done three in a row so far, so what's to say it won't be four? Right?
A lot of hate, Shane.
No,
I
just think it's something...
Hater.
I just think it's something that deserves a mention since he's been so active in the last couple months on these. But of course, you're taking part in this. Have you gained any prayer XP today?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, Tim won the Agility Skill of the Month with 11.4 million XP gained. Second place went to Bletherskite with 5.7 million. And third to BXP Prod, who pulled ahead of Davil in the last week with 4.8 million XP gained.
Yay. I'm trying to figure out how to send a message on here, but I can't. So, we had a glorious, unfortunately brief, but glorious freedom from the overlord known as Shane. He was banned today. Myself, King Kulla, and Art of Dvorak, my roommate, we were all made site owners. Brian, Magic King, and Tim were all made global moderators. And we put Mike on probation because we kind of felt like we had to. We were gonna promote him back up really soon, but we kind of felt like we had to do a show, you know, just to make it realize that he didn't have any ties to that traitor known as Shane.
Lots of interesting things happened while I was banned, apparently. But you guys had to have me come back to fix the post.
Yeah, I knew you would leave a bunch. You did that on purpose. I know you did that on purpose.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you did.
I made a glorious, gracious exit, and I had hoped that everything would work just fine.
The glorious leader.
Made the exact kind of exit I was supposed to make. But, you know, in this leaving post...
What, take as many people with you as you possibly could?
Oh, yeah, that would have happened.
I know.
Anyways, in making this, I also highlighted this past month's Informer articles, such as Mr. Beastro asking what would happen, you know, if Tuska went on a rampage across the world and the world was forever changed, which is, you know, something that has been in discussion recently since, well, world events don't seem to mean too much. We also saw Tanis talk about the new combat beta and his hopes that, you know, it'll turn out successful this time around. And Alex, of course, also told us what matters to him about quests and why he doesn't feel as though quests are as, let's just say, difficult as they used to be. And that comes down to the fear factor. Also, Lord Rickles talked about the closing of the Jagex Wiki in Rest for the Wikied. And finally, Jason departed us at Informer this month with an article titled An Inviting Idea for Invention.
And we thank you for all of your many articles over... How long was he on Informer? Like
8 years.
The whole time?
8 years, I think.
Jesus. 8 years. Jeez, man. 8 years.
Yeah, I joined in 2007 Informer, so it's been a long time.
Wow.
But of course, as one door closes, a window opens, and we get Colton joining us on Informer with his first article.
Well...
RuneScape
Jason,
lore, have we jumped the shark?
From what we've seen of Colton thus far, I feel confident in saying that what you have left is in good hands. So,
indeed. And of course, let's also not forget the thrilling piece that I wrote this month on haptic technology, which I implore everyone to give a read. Yes. Did you read it?
No.
No, you should. You should.
I will after.
All right. I talk about the Force Touch trackpad and why it's very important.
Yee.
Yes.
So now, you have a pick this week, Shane.
I do. I do. And I was unsure if I should use this pick of the week because it's a Macintosh.
You always say that.
It's a Macintosh-only pick. And that's why. But it's something that we kind of do need on this side. And if you're an OS X user and you have an iPhone or an iPad, this is definitely something you should check out. It's called Phone Expander. Also works on the tablets. Basically, what happens is you run this application and plug an iPhone in. And what it will do is allow you to clear out the caches of all the various applications on your phone. Because if you've been using the same phone for a number of years with all the applications on it, you can have caches totaling easily upwards of a gigabyte in space, which is just extra space that you don't
need. Can confirm, text messages took up almost 3 gigabytes on my iPhone before I switched to Windows.
Yeah. And this is something that this piece of software allows you to do. It actually... allows you to download and back up all the attachments from your messages. So,
and it does this without jailbreaking.
Correct. correct?
That is big, because that's one reason I jailbroke, so I could back up my text messages.
And it's Mac only, unfortunately. But
doesn't matter to me anymore.
I also have to say that if you want to, you know, at the first month of every year, you just want a fresh start as to all the photos or videos you're storing, you can just say export my photos into a folder. Then it will completely export your photo library, and you can start fresh. And as we all know, photos and videos take up a lot of storage on the device. So once a year, it's probably a good idea to clean out photos and videos. So that's another thing that this does. But anyways, yeah, if you have a Mac, definitely give this a look. It's free currently, but once they make it out of the beta process, they will be charging probably $9.99 for it.
All right, so going back to Spartan really quick, I do have one qualm. When you close all the tabs, the browser doesn't close. I don't like that.
But
I bet there's an option for that somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Chrome thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that Phone Expander can do that I forgot about was that it allows you to remove applications en masse without, you know, needing to go into jiggle mode for each one or using iTunes for that.
Jiggle mode.
Yeah, that's what the official definition by Apple is.
Jiggle mode?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what...
What a shitty name.
That's what Steve Jobs and Scott Forstall called it way back when.
Jiggle mode. They couldn't come up with anything that... Well, I guess it... I mean, it's not wrong. But jiggle mode.
I like that name. Anyways, phoneexpander.com is where you can find that.
Alrighty.
Been doing anything interesting in the 5 days since we last did a show?
I completely remodeled my house on RS.
Oh, good.
Finally.
Do you want to share a link with everyone?
I think I sent it to you. It's not quite complete. I haven't really worked out the dungeon yet, but that was never really an important part because it never gets used.
Yeah, dungeons though are good because dungeon doors are the best training method.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. But yeah, that's good. Anything else interesting?
Prayer a little bit, and then I realized skill of the month, so I was like, nope.
Yeah,
nope,
right.
Stopping that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else have I been doing? That's it, really.
All right.
On RS, anyway.
On RS, for me, if you're done, yeah?
Yeah, what have been doing?
On RS, farming, you know, and...
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been doing farming runs, too.
Yeah, Toadflax is actually pretty good these days for...
Yeah.
For
why didn't you tell me to do that sooner, man?
Because for a while, Toadflax prices were down, and Dwarfweed and Lantatimi were up. There was a real clear difference between those, but Toadflax is definitely number one or number two again, so that's nice, seeing as the seeds are so cheap.
Yeah, like I'm making 250K a run, pretty much.
Yeah. Another thing that happened this week is I did the, you know, usual weekend QBD trip, which is always good, and I can't wait to try it again with the improved prayer switching thing that happened this week. So, all in all, pretty good.
Ooh. Wow, this is impressive.
Yeah, you know,
I have so many.
Oh, huh? Go ahead. I was just going to say.
I have so many drives plugged into my computer right now that it goes up to, it goes all the way up to L.
Wow. Wow, indeed.
Great.
Yeah, but yeah, I just used this cache clear thing about a month ago, Phone Expander, and I just did it again, and the Xbox Smart Class application's cache size is already up to 106 megabytes.
Nice. How much do you use that?
Well, it's my main, you know, remote for changing the TV channels and whatnot.
Mm.
So practically every day. But anyways, yes, so, I mean, sorry if the show came up a bit quick, you guys, on when you were expecting to have the deadline in to submit questions, but we had to adapt given it was Easter weekend and whatnot. So
yeah, I'm going up to see my grandmother tomorrow afternoon after my 6 o'clock class. So that's a 4-hour drive. So I wouldn't have a chance to record Thursday night. And then I don't really want to record a podcast when I'm at my grandmother's, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the only way I'd advocate doing that is if you were to bring in a live audience, but that might be kind of difficult. So I think we made the right decision.
Yep. So well, we'll be back to Friday next week unless something catastrophic happens.
Indeed.
But this should give you more time to send in questions.
Yeah, because
No excuse. I want 8 questions next week.
And if they get that, we'll do a live show the following week.
Sure.
All right. Well, there you go. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Make it happen, everyone.
Make it so. Audio questions count.
Yep. I will endeavor to get this out on Friday rather than Saturday since we recorded it a day early. As we used to do.
I'm gonna add something else to that. If we can get 5 different audio questions, I think that would also be acceptable,
mm-hmm.
Shane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That used to be what we would do last year, is if we get 5 audio questions, we'll do a live show the next week. So we can go back to that definitely.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Well, with that being
said, let's do it.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Hopefully you have enjoyed your time with us. See you all next week.
Goodbye.